What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Doug Kazarian here in a couple of minutes. We're talking Bears and Panthers. There have been some ugly games in the past. I want to take you through that in a little bit.
Ooh.
I promised Lewis and Wheaton that he would get first shot here at 3 o'clock. Lewis, you're on Waddle and Sylvie. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Feeling a little lucky. Just was literally a yard away from being collateral in an accident. So,
ooh. Whoa.
On my way to get a lottery ticket.
Yes.
But anyway, before I called, I was thinking about asking a question about Wallace and Coward, but you guys have been talking about Miller, and it brings up a few questions for me. Like, Anthony Miller, when he came in that first year, I thought, yeah, he's a solid number two. Then last year, and now this year, he has quite literally dropped the ball. And I'm wondering, why is it that Darnell Mooney can't be a number two? To me, it looks like he's shown enough that I would look at him as the number two and maybe Miller as a solid number three. What are your thoughts?
I mean, like I said, if Anthony Miller does not start catching the passes that are thrown to him, I think that Darnell Mooney will get even more opportunities. I think Mooney already has more snaps than him, if I'm not mistaken. Hasn't Mooney been on the field for more snaps?
Probably. Their numbers are very similar. Mooney's been targeted 25 times. Miller's been targeted 23.
Right.
Mooney's got 15 catches. Miller's got 13. Mooney's got 160 yards. Miller's got 161.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not trying to sell you Anthony Miller as the second coming of Michael Thomas or DeAndre Hopkins. I'm just telling you, there's something locked up in there that I would not be willing to check him off my list until the end of the 2020 season. I want to see him with Nick Foles. I want to see him in this offense, and I want to see him see what he's got. And maybe we can all move on from him after this year, but not until I see what he's got.
Yeah. But listen, I'm frustrated. By no means am I ready to move on.
But listen,
him.
I could move on from every damn guy in that huddle. Okay? Like, what do you think? Like, Matt Nagy's not talking to you about who's going to start at right guard. Do you think Aaron Donald gives a rat's ass a week from Monday about who's going to line up across from him?
No, doesn't. Not a
okay.
No.
I mean,
secret. Oh no, he's scared. All right, let's talk to Doug Kazarian, and we'll get into the Bears here with Doug, and then go around the league. Doug is awesome. He's on Daily Wager every day on ESPN2. You see him on ESPN as well. He's out in Vegas. He's got the Behind the Bets podcast as well. Doug, always great to talk to you. How you feeling today?
Feeling great. Thanks for having me. Always good to talk to you guys. Look, it's the NFL is starting to feel like the NFL again when we see crazy games like the Titans-Bills and just unexpected results, right? And then obviously we have to adjust on the fly for injuries like Dak Prescott. And then these games being rotated, and it feels a little normal, which is good, which is what we all need.
Well, have you guys found any loopholes yet as far as ways to handicap the game with what's going on?
Well, I think we talked about it last week or the week before, but the speculation was why we saw all these overs was because defenses were not, had the home crowd a lot of times, so they weren't exactly amped up, I guess, is a way to put it. But the market is sort of corrected, and so we're not seeing as drastic of the results of the overs because we're seeing so many games in the 50s. Like, well, there's a game on the board of at least 44, 44 and a half, and that's now the new low number now instead of like 39 or 40.
Doug, do you just stay away from some of these games if, in fact, there is COVID-related issues?
Well, I think you need to do your due diligence, right? Like, we're seeing it with, Bama, Georgia, right? Nick Saban's going to be off the field. So you just kind of have to like look at things like, what does this mean? But it's like anything. It's when a team's lost four in a row, that's kind of new territory. Do we continue to bet against them? Like the Jets, right? They haven't covered at all. They've looked abysmal. Joe Flacco. So any game has sort of nuances and components that are particular. So I don't want to say stay away from anything because all tickets cash the same is what we like to say. So if there's an opportunity, You can't eliminate anything on the betting menu.
Doug, both of us like the Bears. The Bears are getting a point here. Carolina's been good. They've won three in a row. How do you see this game with the Bears and the Panthers?
I do like Carolina, but that's only because I've been riding the Panthers. I took them last week. I mean, they just sort of Matt Rhule, what he's doing with this team is pretty impressive. And he's, I think he was at one point 80-1 to win coach of the year. And he's live on that ticket. Now the team's 3-2 and could make the playoffs, especially with the extra playoff, you know, the extra wild card in each conference. So I like this Panthers team. Obviously the 3-0 stretch is overlapped without McCaffrey. I think it's not that the McCaffrey's a bad player. It's just that they're kind of not as predictable as they once were, right? They're distributing the ball. And Teddy Bridgewater, 30-9 against the spread in his career as a starting quarterback. That, as you would imagine, is best all time, minimum 15 quarterback starts. So I really like him, but the Bears deserve some credit. They get extra rest here. They're 4-1 for a reason. I know three of their wins have come by a combined, whatever it is, 9 points or whatever. But I do lean to Carolina just because I trust the coaching staff a little bit more. And it feels like a short number, but usually those short numbers are traps. So I can't fault you at all for liking the Bears.
Doug, how do you feel about the total in this game of 44.5?
I think it's an overplay. Last week, the Panthers had these long, like, 8-minute drives and stuff like that. But typically, their defense is not very good. So I would think that the Panthers are going to be just fine against the Bears defense, although I do like the Bears. But I'm always looking at over versus an under in this 2020 season. I think the Panthers defense normally gives up a lot more. I'm throwing out last week, so to speak. I think it's an over more than an under.
Okay. All right. You know, I like a lot of the division games for us in the NFC North. So let's go to the Packers here. We just got an up-close look at Tampa on Thursday Night Football. They didn't impress me. The Packers have, and they're coming off of their bye. I think they're getting Devontae Adams back, and they're only a one-point favorite. How do you see Buccaneers hosting the Packers?
Well, it's a fascinating matchup because you have the Hall of Fame quarterbacks, right? Rodgers and Brady, and then Tampa should be a little healthier. You know, I talked to a pro bettor the other day. I got lunch with him, and he said Vea's injury on the defensive line is significant and not getting discussed enough. I mean, that's also kind of where we are in the NFL right now. It's about the O-line, the D-line. If you can get pressure on the quarterback, that's the biggest difference maker. And I think he thinks that's more of an issue than, like, the Godwin injury was for the Bears game, or even O.J. Howard for out for the season. So they might be able to scheme and offset that Rhodes as the defensive coordinator, but I think you have to keep riding the pack, especially with Devontae Adams slated to return. Now, Mike Evans has been fighting through injuries, but and it looks like Godwin could return. He practiced. But I think the Packers with Devontae Adams, I mean, how can you not continue to ride Rodgers? Packers are the only undefeated team against the spread, 4-0 ATS. And I just think, look what they've done under Matt Flohr. McCarthy's that bad. LaFleur was 13-3 in the regular season last year. He's undefeated this year, and it's not just LaFleur, right, but it just kind of like addition by subtraction, getting rid of McCarthy, and Rodgers feels better. He's having obviously a great season, MVP-type season. So it's hard for me to pick against the pack. And if you want to go down with the ship, go down with the team that's red hot and undefeated at ATS.
They look significantly better through 4 weeks this year than they did at any point of last year's 13-3 season. So I'm with you. I would not bet against them at this point. Vikings are hosting the Falcons. Falcons, obviously, with a coaching change. I think the number is Vikings -4. Your thoughts here, Doug?
You know, it's funny. We all were ready to jump off the ship of Minnesota after they got torched at home by Green Bay. But look what the Packers have since done. And the Vikings have sort of restored order. Not that they're a good team right now, but they're not as bad as we maybe thought. They're overcoming the injuries that they had, the weaknesses and the inexperience in the secondary. And you saw what they did against Seattle last week. Now, a lot of that was just a tough spot for the Seahawks. And we talk about situational handicapping. That was just a team that was kind of running on fumes, right? They had the goal line stand. They had so many big games, all these one-score games, even going to Miami on the road and holding the Dolphins to 5 field goals and 1 touchdown. That eventually is going to catch up with you, and that's why they were down so much at halftime, and they did with an incredible comeback with Russell Wilson converting 2 fourth downs. So the Vikings still, I just don't know how you can back the Falcons. They have not been the same offense since losing Shanahan. He was the OC, remember, when they led the Patriots in the Super Bowl 28-3. More importantly, he was the OC when Matt Ryan was the MVP of the league. He is not Matty Ice anymore. He is past his prime. This is a bad team. Keep an eye on Julio Jones, his injury. Now, no Dalvin Cook, but we have found, look at the Giants. They've played just fine without Barkley. The Panthers have won three straight without McCaffrey. Madison is, I think, the number two running back in terms of our fantasy team's projection for this weekend. So no drop-off expected with Madison replacing Dalvin Cook. For me, it's Vikings or pass.
All right, Doug Kazarian joining us as he does each and every Friday. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Let's the last division game that I want to get to, and it's just I look at the number at 3.5 with the Lions being the favorite in Jacksonville. It pops out to me at least, but I'm stupid, that I would hop on the Jaguars here at home. I know they haven't been great lately, but, I mean, is Detroit good enough to be a 3.5-point road favorite?
It's a great point. We're going to find out. I mean, Doug Marrone is 14-7-1 against the spread as a home dog, and some of that is in Jacksonville. So, look, they won game one, the week one against the Colts, right? They were a lot of eliminator picks were Indy, and they actually came back and won that game. I cannot back Jacksonville. I just think they're terrible.
Okay.
With that, you know, I was on Houston last week, and Texans were lucky to get the win, let alone the cover. Now, maybe lucky is the wrong word, but fortunate at least. The question is, Detroit's actually decent. You know, obviously you guys know Detroit should have won that game in week one with the rookie Swift dropping that pass near the pylon. But outside of that, they're not heinous. Yeah, they got torched by the Packers, but a lot of guys have, and their defense is really suspect. DJ Shark missed practice yesterday, I believe. I'm keeping an eye on that because I love Minshew Mania. Who doesn't like the jorts and the mustache? But with all that being said, there is a case to make for Detroit here. I wouldn't bet this game because I don't like either side. But I would say beware, because when you back bad teams, you tend to see bad plays, and then you're kicking yourself for backing a bad team.
Doug, it's been a while since I said I can't wait to see Browns and Steelers, but I feel that way about this weekend's game. And the Steelers are four-point favorites at home. How do you feel this game plays out?
Well, I'm a little worried about Baker Mayfield. He was pretty banged up in the second half, grabbing his shoulder a lot, nicked up. He took a pounding last week. Now, Cleveland, you know, we've laughed about the Browns over the last handful of years. The first part of that stretch was really when they were the worst team, and could they cover +8, +10, and you know, all the lines didn't feel like they were big enough, and they were 0-16. Now, the last year and a half, they've been a talented roster, but they've been a team that's only beat up on bad teams. Like, they'll hammer the Jets, they'll hammer the Dolphins, they'll hammer the Bengals. Last week was the first time they actually beat a good team in the Colts, or what we think is a good team, and even the week prior, beating Dallas. Those are wins that we did not see Cleveland get last year. They lost all of these types of games. So I'm curious. And especially with Beckham missing a couple practices with a stomach issue or whatever it is, but it's, they say he's COVID negative, I wonder if this kind of gravy train the last couple of weeks I talked about earlier with the Seahawks kind of not having much in the tank, running on empty, I wonder if the Browns are running on empty here. And although the Steelers do look a little shaky, they don't look that great, their undefeated mark's a little misleading, I wonder if this is a second-half pull-away win by two touchdowns kind of thing for the Steelers.
All right. So is this one of your best plays of the week, or do you have a couple more that you could throw our way?
I'm going to be a total Joe Public here, total squares, we like to say in Vegas. I'm taking the Dolphins. The Jets are awful. They have Joe Flacco, a quarterback who's a statue, and a giant drop-off from Sam Darnold. When that quarterback change was announced last week, there was no line change in the point spread between Darnold, and now I know it was expected, but still, the Cardinals should not have been laying just 7 last week. This Dolphins team plays hard and plays well. And yes, Fitzpatrick has left a lot of fans scratching their head over the years, but that's usually when they're down and trying to come back and he forces one, things like that. When they have a lead, like last week, he's fine. He's a good quarterback. I think they're just going to pound the Jets. I think the Jets are awful. I think they have turmoil. Adam Gase gives up play calling. I don't care. I'm going to continue to bet against the Jets. They're 0-4 ATS. I think they're the worst team in the NFL. They don't even have like a position group that's anything to write home about. So I'm on them. I'm also on the Ravens -7.5 at Philly. Yeah, the Eagles came back, but they're a couple notches below in terms of class with this Ravens team. And Waddle, you and I have talked about just the Ravens in the regular season.
Yep.
What it takes to beat this unique offense. Teams aren't willing to put in the work and the preparation throughout the weeks during the regular season, sort of reserve it for the postseason. So I like them, and I like them in a teaser. Teaser with the Jets, excuse me, the Dolphins. If you can get the Dolphins down to 2.5 from 8.5, I like the Ravens in a teaser as well.
Do you have a strong feeling about the Alabama-Georgia game?
Well, look, I think Nick Saban's the greatest coach in college football history. So would you rather get Georgia plus 6 with Saban on the field or plus 4.5 without him? And for me, it's a no-brainer. I'll take the 4.5 without Saban. And I know he's not an offensive play caller. I think that's the most, that would be the biggest thing missing for any college football or pro football team when you have a play caller. But he's like the defensive mastermind, and this defense might have some issues here, right? It's not the Alabama defenses of old. So I like Georgia plus the points. Pretty, I'm warming up to it, like be pretty strong here. I know it's this inexperienced quarterback on the road. He has to go to Bryant Denny, but there's no crowd, or at least the same crowd that there usually is in college football and the SEC rivalries. I just trust Georgia's defense against this Alabama's offense. Now, Alabama offense reminds me of LSU, but from last year, but that was like historically great offense. I don't know if they're quite that great. We're gonna find out. But I think they're going to get some pressure on Mac Jones, and not having Saban there to make adjustments and do the signal. I just think that's going to be a real vacancy and void for this Bama team. I like Georgia in the points.
Great stuff, Doug. We always appreciate your time. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk next week.
Thanks, Doug.
You got it. My pleasure, guys.
There you go. Doug Kazarian, each and every Friday, right here on ESPN 1000. For later in the show, Waddle, I have a goofy question about Nick Saban.
Shocking.
And if Abdallah was here, Abdallah would probably start yelling at me. And when he does everything, shout us down.
I don't think that's topic specific. I just think that's how he rolls.
Especially when it comes to Nick Saban.
Okay.
But wait till I truly believe this, Waddle.
Okay.
Bears Carolina. I believe at one point it was the worst quarterbacked game combined by both teams when these two teams faced each other 10 years ago. You tell me if I was right or wrong, and I'm not exaggerating. I don't know if they keep these in databases where they can look back.
Oh, they got it somewhere.
They got it. I mean, this has got to be up there. And we'll take your phone calls at 332-3776.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
All right, so I put an email in to Jacob Nitzberg from ESPN Stats and Info. See if he gets back to me. I want to know, because I was looking at the all-time history. When I think Bears-Panthers, Waddle, I think ugly.
Yeah.
I think ugly was football games.
Jimmy Clausen involved in this?
Yes. Yes. You remember this one?
Which team was he playing
for? That's a good question. Very good. I'll take you to that game in a minute, but like you remember the 05 game, not the one when the Bears lost in the postseason with the Steve Smith game. Before that, they played earlier in the year where it was this defensive struggle.
Yeah.
And the Bears came out on top, and that's when we knew like that defense was for real.
It was one of the ugliest football games of all time. Right,
right. Right. This one, I'll never forget it. I went with my buddy Perry. We went and we sat outside at the Joe's on Weed Street. Tommy DeSanto, Ed Warm, they've been running that place forever.
Oh, fantastic.
And the final was, and remember, the Bears had a great year then in 2010. They went on to go to the NFC Championship game. Bears win this game 23-6. You tell me, this is from 10-10-10, October 10th, 2010. The starting quarterbacks for the Chicago Bears was Todd Collins. The starting quarterback, as you guessed correctly, Waddle, was Jimmy Clausen. Listen to this. It's got to be the worst quarterback game in the history of like the modern era combined. Todd Collins, he went 6 of 16 for 32 yards and 4 interceptions. He had a passer rating of 6.2.
He was off. The rush got to him. He was harassed all day.
Wasn't the game before, I want to say, like, didn't Jay get bruised and battered against the Giants or something like that?
Well, he got sacked 9 times in the first half
in New York. Like, yeah. And I think he was out because of that. And so Todd Collins had to start. Todd Collins was 6 of 16 for 32 yards. That's a 2.0 yards per attempt. And he threw four picks and no touchdowns. Jimmy Clausen, starting for the Carolina Panthers, was 9 of 22 for 61 yards, no touchdowns, and one interception.
You go, Jimmy. He arrived at the game in that gigantic Hummer limousine, too, right?
Did he?
No, that's, I think, isn't he the guy that when he went to Notre Dame, that's how he showed up?
With the black eye in the the limo.
Yeah.
I guess he didn't him and Cutler, though, hit it off?
I think Jay got along with most of the guys, didn't he?
Yeah. I mean, Jimmy was here
just
for
not Cap.
Bit.
Just not Cap. Yeah. I think Cap was the only one really there.
So Jimmy Clausen had a passer rating of 29.7. Todd Collins had a passer rating of 6.2. Caleb Haney had to come into the game. He was 2 of 3 for 19 yards. And Matt Moore had to come into the game. He was 5 and 10 for 35 yards. There wasn't a touchdown thrown between the four quarterbacks. Listen
that's
to this.
Sylvie, that's Bear football right there.
There were seven interceptions thrown between those four quarterbacks. Seven.
That's Bear football right there, buddy.
I mean,
when you say Bear football, you go into the football encyclopedia, and that game's right next to it.
There can't be a worse quarterbacked game than that one. Can there? Think about that. Jimmy Clausen, Matt Moore, Caleb Haney, and Todd Collins.
Well, wait a second.
Seven picks, zero touchdowns.
What about, was it last year or the year before when the Bears played the Rams on Monday night and Jared Goff and Mitch combined for something comparable?
Not, I don't think, for a rating of a 6 and a rating of a 29?
The rating, but I'm thinking that was was an interception festival, wasn't it? Wasn't that an interception festival that game?
Yes, coming to...
What year was that? That was 18?
Tinley Park.
That was a Sunday night game, right?
Like, yes.
16-6. They won 15-6. Here you go. I'm going to bring you the numbers of that game. Jared Goff was 20 of 44 for 180 yards. Zero touchdowns, four interceptions. He had a QBR of 11.1. He had a quarterback rating of 19.1.
Oh, yeah.
Here comes Mitch.
All right, let's hear 16 this.
16 of 30 for 110 yards. He averaged 3.7 yards per attempt. He did have a touchdown pass. He had three interceptions. He had a QBR of 25.5 and a rating of 33.3. So collectively.
Bad, not as bad, Waddle.
Good point, but like in the same kind of neighborhood, I got one touchdown pass and seven interceptions collectively.
Yes. Now, they matched the seven picks, but remember, Todd Collins threw for 32 yards, not a buck 80. And Jimmy Clausen, threw for 61.
Okay,
the two starting quarterbacks
How many attempts for Jimmy Clausen?
Jimmy Clausen at 22.
Okay, well, Jared Goff.
Nine of 22.
Okay, Jared Goff was 20 of 44.
But they didn't combine for 100 yards.
No, listen, I don't think I can top what you just...
You're trying to beat me with
trying to
something
get
that was bad but
you,
wasn't...
Yes, you said, is there anything close? And there's nothing worse. Yours is 100% worse than this. But if you recall,
yeah,
that was a hideous quarterback
One
game.
One touchdown, seven picks in that game. Yeah. Wow. Amazing. And I know there have been some, like, Cade McNown didn't pass midfield in a game. In San Francisco when T.O. set the reception mark. That was all the same game. But that still isn't combined. You know, that's what I'm saying. It's Jimmy Clausen combined with
this has been a really fun walk down Chicago Bears offensive ineptitude lane. It really has.
Bears and Panthers.
You brought us back to Cade McNown against San Francisco. You brought us back to Bears and Panthers.
Todd Collins.
I contributed Rams and Bears. I mean,
Chuck in Arizona, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, what's up, guys?
You tell us.
Hey, I was calling because I could have sworn Waddle had said that Williams was going to be a pretty good receiver, and he hasn't materialized much of anything either.
No, I think I would give Williams a chance, but they obviously don't see him the same way.
Yeah. I just want the Bears to hurry up and get some playmakers out there because I'm tired of getting whooped and Madden playing with the Bears and my favorite team. And
yeah. Well, I would just say, you know what, cheer for your favorite team on Sunday, but use a different team for Madden.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing.
Yeah.
All right,
Chuck. I'm really proud of you, Sylvie. Keep it up. And you guys have a great weekend.
Thank you, Chuck. Chuck. We appreciate you. There you go.
Listen, I'm just telling you, okay? I'm not telling you that Anthony Miller's going to be a Pro Bowler this year. I'm just not giving up on him on 2020.
No.
I may change my mind at the end of this year, but I think there's something in there that he needs to establish this season.
All right, mark that. And then when Anthony Miller catches 123 yards this weekend, we could play it back and
look
like a prophet.
By the way, he's had the game-winning touchdown catch in two of their four wins this year.
Right, right. In Atlanta, run to the, what letter was it? Was it run to the
run
L?
To the L.
Go to the L.
The old run to the L play. I mean, we'll remember that for a while. It was magical. 312-332-3776. We need that Nick Foles to show up now for many of these games. Waddle's World is coming up. Dan Durkin is awesome with the film. He'll tell us what he sees at 4 o'clock. And, of course, all your Bears phone calls. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Amazing.
What's going on in the world of sports?
Look at all the sports things. Look at aerobics in here. So many activities.
Let's find out together.
You step class. It's making my head spin how many activities we can do.
As we enter...
This is how we do it.
Waddle's World.
That's right. Waddle's World's brought to you by our great friends at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit wintrust.com/find us. Member FDIC. A little baseball update for you. The Astros and the Rays, not an update, but just tell you what's going on in the world of Major League Baseball. I have been watching. Have you? The Astros and Rays play game 6 of their series. First pitch is 5:07 today. The Rays lead that series 3-2. We had more Dodger disappointment last night, and Dodgers in Atlanta, the Braves, will play tonight at 8:05. The Braves lead that series 3-1.
I'm in now for a variety of reasons, because can Houston do the unthinkable and bother people and come back? I mean, like you said, chaos.
Yeah.
Go down 0-3 and possibly come back like the Red Sox did. And win, and then the Dodgers. I mean, they were like the sure thing.
More Clayton Kershaw stuff.
Yeah, and can they come back from a three? Can they win 3 in a row here?
By the way, I wanted to add this, but we segued into a different topic yesterday. When we started the show talking about analytics and the importance of analytics and zigging when zagging. And I'm with you on this front, where you know how I feel about analytics. I use analytics as a tool, but I'm not married to them. They're part of my arsenal. I have a baseball toolkit. I have hammers. I have screwdrivers. I have clamps. I have pliers.
Clamps, really?
Yeah, clamps. Yeah, of course. Yeah. If you're going to do some woodwork, you got to have some clamps.
I like it.
So I use it as a tool in my toolbox. Chris Bleck came at you and said, hey, listen, homer, 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 homer. Not calling you a homer, but
that's... Home runs are good, and I agree with him. Home runs are good.
I do, too.
Right.
But this is what proves my point. Do you know in the American League Championship Series where the Rays and where the Houston Astros fall in terms of home runs this year? Right in the middle. Now, if you go back to the America or the National League Championship Series, I believe the Dodgers and the Braves fall in at 1-2. My point is that there is a perfect bit of evidence for you that it is important, but it's not an end all be all. I have two participants in the American League Championship Series that aren't just home run or nothing teams. I have two teams in the National League Championship Series that are very reliant on the home run.
Well, the counter to that, though, is that the Astros entered the playoffs at 29-31. They were not on the trajectory to be a playoff team necessarily.
And that's fine, but what I'm going to tell you right now, Tyler, is they're playing for a right to play for the World Series.
You are correct.
Okay,
yes.
Now, so what is your excuse for the Rays?
Well, they have some really good pitching. They've got phenomenal pitching,
and that's the point.
And
it's like
they've
not
had guys with timely home runs too throughout the series.
Okay, but like it's not something that they relied on throughout the course of this abbreviated season. They were 14th or 16th or 17th in terms of home runs. I'm not disputing the concept of, nor was Sylvie yesterday, the importance of analytics. But as Sylvie said, when you start talking launch angle and all this other stuff, well, they start pitching at your launch angle. And
right,
they adjust
like, look, Tyler,
to
what I want to know, and I want more home runs, the better. Home runs. And I'm all about analytics. I want less failure and sometimes the ability to put the ball in play is all I'm saying. Like, has Chris Bryant now been countered? Chris Bryant was brought up with his dad learning how to hit with launch angle. He was ahead of his time, and it came with everyone. Yelich, it's another reason why Yelich reworked his swing and maybe cheated. But I'm not saying that, but maybe reworked his swing. A lot of guys it's worked for. A lot of guys on the Dodgers, too, who weren't – Max Muncy, I think, is a guy who changed his swing and things like that.
Justin Turner, too.
Right, Justin Turner. But now where KB can't hit the high heat – because he's got the launch angle swing, have pitchers analytically found the way to counter the hitters, and now is it time to zag a little bit with a little more adjustment to the adjustment.
In 2019, the Chicago Cubs got 31 home runs from Bryant, 29 from Baez, 38 from Schwarber, 21 from Hayward, 27 from Rizzo, 24 from
right,
Contreras.
Right, the ball was also juiced.
That's
too.
Fine, I mean, but they didn't get to the
31
postseason.
31 home runs wasn't that much. As all, like when
you're still in probably top, what, 8 or 7? They were top in home runs that year?
Okay, can you guys call
I'm talking
2019 home run leaders? Oh,
as
I thought you meant
team,
KB at
31. We're not talking about individuals right now. I think we're talking about teams.
Right.
And what I'm saying to you is actually, stop fighting me, mister, because I'm on
you're
your side here.
Yeah.
I'm backing you up here. My point is that you can do both. It should be a combination of both.
Cubs were 13th in home runs in 2019.
That's lower than I thought they were.
Yeah,
No. In the regular season, 2019 regular season, they were sixth.
Yeah.
They were sixth. They were behind. The Twins were one. The Yankees were two. The Astros were three. The Dodgers were four. The A's
were
fifth.
What were you
fifth.
Looking at?
I had the batting average list up.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
You were in 1980. You were in 1987.
I'm trying to bring everybody together here. What I'm trying to suggest is Tyler, your points are very good. Chris Black, your points are very good. Sylvie, I agree with you as well. Analytics in that whole home run thing is part of the equation. But you can still win if you're not getting bomb after bomb after bomb. Or if your bombers, for some reason, aren't bombing, you still have to find a way to scratch across runs and win games to get to the top of the mountain. That's all I'm saying.
Right. I think the good example of the athlete who does do that in today's baseball is Anthony Rizzo. When he's ahead in the count, he opens his shoulder and he really swings for it. When he's behind in the count, he
chokes
shortens
up.
His swing and
yeah.
he's has
That's
no
all.
Problem slapping the ball the other way.
Right.
That's all
right.
I'm saying. And
I'll never be the old man in the room, even at 80, because I always want to evolve with what the current what it is current. I'll never be the guy saying, well, way back when this is the way it worked and it's only gonna be that way. I'm just saying that sometimes there's just too much failure. Too much. And I think there's going to be a zag coming up soon.
You can zig and you
can zag. Different approach in baseball.
I'm just saying your toolbox should have more than one tool in it. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. What can you fix with a hammer that needs a screwdriver?
No, when you only have the hammer.
Are you just going to take the hammer and drive this, just pound the screw in? I'm not sure that's going to work. And what if you have to take the screw back out?
Are we still talking about tools?
The Patriots have canceled practice after the latest positive COVID-19 test, according to Mike Reese.
What's going on here?
They canceled their Friday practice and player interviews after a positive test, according to a source, and are awaiting confirmation on a second positive test. They plan to place offensive lineman James Ferentz on the reserve COVID-19 list, according to ESPN. So Colts have reopened their facility after 4 false positives.
See, that's what they're testing these guys again just to make sure, because that happened to the Bears, didn't it? Remember when it freaked out the Bears?
So. Yeah. Falcons reopened facility a day after their positive test. Browns are optimistic that wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. and quarterback Baker Mayfield will play against the Steelers.
That's going to be a good game.
I agree.
You mentioned it to Doug, but remember, you also have the Myles Garrett.
Yes.
From last year, the sort of revenge.
Speaking of that, Myles Garrett says he anticipates a clean, fair game in the first meeting with the Steelers since the 2019 incident. So there are some really good games.
Did you see we have a Nick Saban news that Abdallah tweeted?
I did not see that.
It says a PCR test was repeated Thursday by the SEC-appointed lab and was negative of Nick Saban, according to a statement.
So is he going to be on the sidelines for this game?
Let me open this up, see if we've got...
Where is that testing facility?
It says Coach Saban was evaluated again today by Dr. Robinson. He continues to be asymptomatic and without fever. We're continuing to follow the SEC return to activity and medical guidance task force protocol for testing asymptomatic positives. PCR test was repeated Thursday by the SEC appointed lab and was negative. For clarification, the initial positive result came from an outside lab we've used to supplement the SEC mandated testing. We will continue to remain in isolation and receive daily PCR tests. Should he have three negative PCR tests through the SEC appointed lab, each 24 hours apart, the initial test would be considered a false positive,
yes,
pursuant to the SEC protocols, and he would be allowed to return.
Dr. Feelgood is also the team chef, and he says, yes, there's a good, yes, chance that Nick will be on the side. No, I'm kidding. This is a you remember the story of the tragedy of Tyler Skaggs, the Angels pitcher?
Yeah.
Former Angels employee indicted in the death of Tyler Skaggs. A federal grand jury indicted former Angels communications director Eric Kate yesterday on charges related to Skaggs' death in 2019. The details are awful here. According to the indictment, Kay, who told federal agents he provided drugs to Skaggs, is charged with distributing a controlled substance that resulted in Skaggs' death and for possessing with the intent to distribute the opioid fentanyl. Skaggs was found dead July 1st of 2019 after asphyxiating on his own vomit, and an autopsy found oxycodone, ethanol, and fentanyl in his system.
Terrible.
Kay told the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration agents last year he had given Skaggs several oxycodone pills before the team left for a series in Texas. What is a guy doing with fentanyl? And how,
I don't even know, for the layman, what does fentanyl do? I don't even know. It's just like, what is it? It's an opioid, right? A pain.
I think it's one of the most dangerous things that you can come across these days, right? Because a lot of the things that people are taking are tainted, and you don't know where they've come from, and all kinds of. Don't do drugs, everybody.
Yeah,
how about
that's
that?
A good. Yeah,
I'll just wrap that.
Waddle
the
and Sylvie.
Up.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. When we
just
back,
say no.
Just say no. I will bring you the nuttiest story of the day and a little something we call Florida or Ohio.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
That House of Pain? Or is it Cyndi Lauper?
Insane in the Membrane.
Okay. Before I get to the nuttiest story of the day, something that I'm surprised, Sylvie, that you have not mentioned.
Oh, really?
Yes, because you're usually the most thorough person I know when it comes to sports-related stuff.
Well, how do you know I haven't gotten to it yet? I've had so many thoughts, I just haven't gotten to it.
No, I know you haven't. I'm not going to say you're compulsive or you're anal or you're anything with regard to your right. Sports thoughts. That's not what I'm saying. So yes, I want to disarm you on that front.
Okay, so what is this?
J.J. Stankovic on Twitter reminds us all that Matt Nagy is 24-13 as the Bears head coach, but he's 1-4 when his teams have 10-plus days between games.
Right, right. This was a big thing we hit on last year.
Yes, and I'm surprised that this isn't something that you have mentioned yet. This is something I completely forgot about it.
We got a laundry list. I mean, you know.
I know.
We can't get to the underwear until we do the shirts and the jeans.
I would suggest, based on your habits, you should start with the underwear so you don't let it kind of filter itself in with the other stuff.
Yeah, it's been a rough summer.
Yeah, right? That's what I mean. So, like, if I'm you, I'm putting the underwear in first.
Yeah, that's probably. Well, usually if that's the case, they go in right away or, like, they get rinsed
or they get
first.
Thrown out.
Yeah, or thrown out if it's really that bad.
But it's easier to go without underwear than it is without pants.
That's
right?
A good point. Yeah. Right. It depends on where you're at, though. Nuttiest story of the day is brought to you by Screwball. God. Nuttiest story of the day is brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey.
There you go. Thank you. A night with Screwball.
Bound to get loud, buddy!
And don't forget, today we've got our Screwball sign-off with TJ O'Brien's and Palatine.
Yeah. All right. Now, so that's a $200 gift card at $550, correct?
Correct. You bet your sweet ass.
So make sure you're listening to the show, whether you're on Twitch, whether you're on the radio, whether you download the ESPN Chicago app.
Giving away
smart
good
speaker
stuff.
Too.
Who's giving away a Friday afternoon $200 gift card to a fantastic establishment?
Us.
We are. All right, giant 3-meter carpet python tries to eat a brave woman who tried to rescue it from under her car. Thanks for nothing.
So that's like a 9-foot snake we're talking.
You are our measurement specialist. You told us.
Approximately 9 feet. Yeah. Might be a little more, actually.
Yeah, is this, what do we call this? What is this, the system of
the metric
system? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sylvia is our metric system expert.
Tyler, all I said was earlier in the week because Waddle didn't know meters. A meter is similar to a yard.
It is very similar. I think a yard is exactly 3 feet, and I'm looking right now. A meter is 3.28.
Okay, there you go. So you guys can be president and co-president, vice president of the measurement.
Yeah, that's almost
club
a 10-foot long snake then.
What type of services does the measurement club provide?
They measure stuff.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, they don't cook just for checking. You, Eric. I mean, what do you want them to do? They're measurement officials.
Eric, we were talking about the other day, the fish people. Fish people love holding up their catches, so they measure the catches.
Okay, that's fine.
In terms of, he's talking about Twitter avatars.
Yeah.
Naturally.
I think it's a club. I think it's one of these weird sects. That's S-E-C-T-S.
Oh, it's like a sign.
Yeah,
it's
weird
like
sects.
It's like Nexium.
Yeah. A brave reptile lover who tried to rescue a rogue snake from under her car was forced to dial 000 for help when the python coiled itself around her leg. You dial 000 when you're in Australia. Queensland police were called to the home of a woman after she became entangled with the 2 to 3 meter long carpet python. Woman had been working in her garage when she noticed her cat had cornered the snake under her car. I think that's a battle the cat's going to lose, don't you?
I don't know. Cats can pounce.
A 10-foot snake and a house cat.
Well, why is the woman going after it or trying to sit? What was she trying to do?
She was trying to help it. She tried to pull the creature out from underneath, try to save it.
Well, then the python tried to take her life?
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Snake still wrapped around her leg. We're going to need to attempt removal, a female officer was heard saying. The woman takes hold of the snake's head as the police officer unwinds the tail of the leg, admitting the snake does not look happy. I've been told if you ever find yourself in a situation where a snake has wrapped itself around you, if you can get hot water on it, pour hot water on it, then it will release.
I just happen to have a cup of hot water near me.
I'm just saying.
While a snake is strangling me.
Time out. Here we go. Okay. So you're laying on the garage floor. Okay.
Right. Uh-huh.
10-foot python is trying to strangle you.
Yes.
You scream.
Yeah.
Allie comes out of the house.
Right. Get some water.
Well, first Braxton comes out and bites the snake. But then Allie comes, you say, get some hot, scalding hot water. She gets a big thing of scalding hot water, pours it on the snake, it releases, you live.
Okay. Awesome. There you go. That's a good tip, okay. I guess.
Want to play a game?
Yeah.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Ah! Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Spooky delivery.
Excuse me?
Spooky delivery.
Okay.
Mail facility receives horse skeleton.
Excuse me?
Oh.
I said horse.
Mail
facility
okay.
receives horse skeleton.
Okay. Like your mail, M-A-I-L.
Yes, correct. Yeah. International mail facility discovered a disturbing package just in time for Halloween. The acting director of field operations, Daniel Alonzo, tweeted that the contents, can't read my paper, of the package Wednesday, revealing 200 equine
Equine.
Equine.
That's
bone.
Horse. That's,
yeah, I just yes. didn't know how to say yeah, it.
That's right.
Okay. Laying out the bones to complete, laying out the bones, it completed a full horse skeleton. The agency said that sort of like sending these sort of packages are legal, and they need some sort of veterinary services permit.
Okay, what I'm going to say to you is this thing came from overseas, and usually you don't send that stuff to Cleveland from overseas.
It goes into Miami,
it goes
right?
into Miami.
Big, yes, I'm
so
with
I'm,
you.
I'm going with Miami, Florida.
We'll agree on the city, even.
I'm going to go with Cleveland here. Ohio really? Seems like a big Halloween state, doesn't it? You would know
Midwest
better than I
so
No, you're
South.
Right. You're right.
The International Mail Facility is located in Jacksonville, Florida.
Of course it is.
We were close.
Of course it is. Thank you.
We got Florida right.
Yes.
All right, 2 minutes away, we'll talk to Dan Durkin. He's a master when it comes to watching the coaching tape of the Bears. And we'll ask him the question that we were debating earlier. Is Anthony Miller a playmaker? That's up in 2 short minutes.